Ladies and gentlemen, it's with a great deal of honor that we, the music department of Freeway Baptist Church, presents for you, Celebrate His Coming Again.
Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. It echoes across the generations into our lives today. Bells quit ringing when the laughter ceases, when the carols stop playing, and when the trumpets are silent, and the season quiets, we can hear the sound of His coming even yet again. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Resound with the chorus. Can you hear it? The night is alive with the promise. The stars take their place as the moment draws near. For the song all creation has waited to hear. Can you hear it? The praises of each generation. Can you hear it? Rejoice in the hope of salvation. Come sing with the angels the joyous refrain till the whole earth is lifting His name, we sing.
God divided the sea from the land, before the Creator breathed life into man, He spoke the words that would shatter the night. This is the story of life. The sun and the moon and the stars took their place, as if God was giving creation a taste of what was to come on that Bethlehem night. This is the story of life. This is the story of life. Light of the world, hope of the ages, God sent His Son to the darkness to save us, burning our hearts like never before, until we shine with the light of the Lord. Oh, come and give us a passion for all that is right, 'cause this is the story of life. Down through the ages, the story's been told of a manger, the stable, the swaddling clothes. But what God was saying that Bethlehem night is, this is the story of life. This is the story of life. Light of the world, hope of the ages, God sent His Son to the darkness to save us, burning our hearts like never before, until we shine with
Sarah, his age and her barrenness, the situation seems so hopeless. But the God who spoke light into darkness, unbelief became the stage for promise. And the childless couple would become parents of a nation. Suddenly, the empty, dark sky was filled with the dim light of hope. Abraham, can you count the stars? As many as they are, so will your descendants be. It's no wonder for God's people, ever since that night, His faithfulness has been known unto man. And because of God, wilderness journeys in and the promised land, thirst is quenched, hunger is satisfied. And in the darkest nights, those dim lights of the stars have announced God's message of hope. Hold on, I'm on my way. I've been watching you, holding on for me, through the waiting and the wonder. Somehow you still believe, if your faith this wrong. Someday you will find it may not be like you expect, but I will come to you in a perfect time. You may be waiting for the fire when I'm calling through the rain. You may be listening for thunder while I'm whispering your name. You may be searching for a sign to let you know that it's okay. Hold on, 'cause I'm on my hold on, 'cause I'm on my way. Ooh, hold on, hold on.
Just think of what it must have been like for Mary, Mother of Jesus, as she heard the first sounds of his coming. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Mary's thought must have been anything but one of joy and celebration. Instead, hers must have been one of uncertainty, fear, and loneliness. From the quiet hillsides of Galilee, a young virgin's desperate cry for mercy echoed through the night.
Mary in labor hovered over in a corner, and Joseph, her husband, afraid for the moment. Was this to be a season of despair? Or was this a place of danger? Or what is a place of shelter? What was this moment of weakness? Or was it a moment of strength? What determined this moment? Was it the cold midnight air? Or was it the one whose presence filled the manger?
I see a tired manger in a cattle stall, but my imagination must be far too small. I have trusted and I followed, but tonight I feel so weak. Oh God in heaven, let your peace on earth begin with me. Even now and then, these moments where you know all my fears, remind me again how you've led me here. From place to place in all the world, since where I am tonight, no matter where you take me, if you're there, I'll be alright. There'll be time enough for answers.
As all of creation hovered over the dark cattle stall to see what was about to happen, the one whose breath had brought play to life
now cried out himself in a newborn baby's cry as he gasped for that first breath. And as the dark, silent stall was pierced with the cry of an infant, the creature sang to the Creator.
The long-awaited moment arrived, and its humble surroundings, not nearly suitable for a king, Mary gave birth to Jesus. As she held the Christ in her arms for the very first time, and as Joseph touched the tiny fingers of the promised Messiah, their anxious fears gave way to tears of joy. born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star from the east and are come to worship him.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time, yet without sin unto salvation. Palaces to kingdoms and empires, cities of villages, tribes. God has revealed His love and mercy to us, each and every soul born of mankind. Salvation through Jesus Christ is God's plan. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. just as God promised Abraham a nation, and just as God promised mankind a Redeemer. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. At His first coming, He was a small, tender child robed in flesh. But the love of God is vast, it's unsearchable, and the human mind can but merely understand His first coming. Tonight, we worship and we proclaim that the returning of God's Son is just as clear and it's just as close as ever before. And I saw in heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. He had the name written on them that no man knew but yet Himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were upon heaven followed Him on white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. Out of His mouth went forth a sharp sword, and with it He would smite the nations, and He should rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His side a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, He's coming again. Let's give this choir a great big round of applause. I tell you that sometimes we forget that the babe that came in the manger is coming again. And before we become fixated with a nativity, may we become fixated with the one who will come not as a baby, but as the conquering Lord of glory. He'll come in all His glory. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the choir at this time as they have done a great job. And I want to take just a moment and share something with you from the Scripture. One of the most important figures in all of the story of the advent of Jesus Christ is the forerunner of Christ. The one that Jesus said was the greatest person to ever live apart from Jesus. One named John the Baptist. And the purpose for the ministry of John the Baptist was to prepare the way of the Lord. To make the crooked places straight and the high places low, to make ready a people prepared to meet their God. And certainly, he did just that. He went to prepare the way of the Lord. And so, the stage was set for Jesus to come. And as Jesus came to this earth, one day, when our Lord was 30 years of age, He walked towards Jordan, and there His half-cousin, John the Baptist, looked up and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I want to say to you today that Jesus was a Lamb. The Bible says, slain as it were from before the foundations of the world. And He was slain so that He could take away the sins of the world. Mary did have a little lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the wonder of wonders that Jesus would come to a cruel world and be made a sacrifice. If mankind's need, greatest need, would have been information, He would have sent an educator. If our greatest need were money, He would have sent an economist. If our greatest need were understanding, He would have sent a philosopher. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so He sent a Savior to take away the sin of the world. But the news is this. Today you have the opportunity to deal with the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And while you may, you can deal with Jesus of Nazareth, who came to take away the sin of God. Of the world. But I would tell you that the Bible is so clear. The Bible says in Revelation 5, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. You see, when Jesus comes again, he will not be a lamb. He will be a lion. He will be a lion. Coming to judge those who have chosen to reject his offer of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I believe that it would be much more prudent to face the Lamb of God rather than the Lion of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus himself. When he comes again, even as Brother Burt read, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's coming a day where all of us will be forced to bend the knee and confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And today we can choose to deal with Jesus, the Lamb of God, and we can confess Him as Lord, as the only Lord and Savior of the universe. Or one day we can meet the Lion and be forced into subjection, and with every other knee and every other tongue confess that He is Lord. There are a lot of people that think, I have lots of time to deal with that. But I submit to you that you do not know the day or the time when God may take you home or when He comes again. Many years ago, 1985, I was helping to build a little church just north of Dallas, Texas. And the church asked me to come and serve as its assistant pastor and to work with the teenagers and help to organize a Sunday school and a bus ministry. We began building a youth group and organizing a Sunday school, and I was excited, full of zeal, to win people to Jesus Christ. And there was a young man that started coming to some of our functions and occasionally to church, and his name was Mike. Mike played in the marching band at Allen High School. I lived across the street from the high school. Whenever the games would be in town, the whole town would close down and the stands would be packed. The town had about 6,000 people at that time, and I'm sure there were more than that many at the football games on Friday night. And I remember a school began we had a back-to-school outing, and on a Saturday we were going to take all the teenagers to Six Flags over Texas for a great time together. Before we took them to Six Flags, we got together, and I had some donuts there at the church, and had some soft drinks and things for the kids, and I sat them down there in the little rented auditorium that we had, and I gave them the gospel. And there sat about 20 teenagers listening to me give the gospel. And I said, before we go to Six Flags over Texas, if there's one of you here today that is uncertain that if you died, you would spend forever in heaven with God, let me take a few moments with you and show you from the Bible how you can be certain that heaven is your home. As I brought the message to a conclusion, there was a young man, Mike, who lifted his hand and said, I would like to know. And I took him aside and he said, you know, I don't think I'm ready today. Not today. I'll think about it and maybe next week I'll do it. I said, don't put it off, Mike. I know you're only 15 and you think that you've got your whole life in front of you, but don't put it off. Well, we went to Six Flags and we had a great time. And it was one of the highlights of the whole year for the teen group. And the next Friday night was the homecoming game for Allen High School. And the whole town turned out and I was in the stands and I was there with a bunch of the teenagers that were students at the school. And I looked out and there was Mike and some of the other kids that had been coming to the church, and they were playing in the marching band in the halftime production at the homecoming festivities there, and waved at Mike and went out and talked to him and shook his hand. And man, I was excited to be there and to be a part of his life and experiencing that with those kids. And the game ended and Allen beat their nemesis in football, and it was a great night all the way around. And we celebrated and went home and went to bed rather late. And my phone rang at 2:30 in the morning. It was Mike's mother. She said, Brother Mark, I just wanted to tell you that about an hour ago, Mike and his friend were walking to Circle K, and a drunk driver hopped the curb and hit and killed my son. You've been working with him. I just wanted you to know. I started to tremble because I knew where that boy was. He said, I'll do it next week. Next week never came. And there's somebody here tonight that's thinking, I'll deal with the lamb next week. And if you put it off, you'll not face a lamb. You'll face the judgment of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And tonight, the way that we deal with the Lamb and receive the forgiveness of sins that takes it away is to agree with what God said about us, that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to know that the best we can do is not good enough. It falls short of what God requires of us. And what God, who is holy, requires is perfection. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We who are unholy can never produce holiness. If we could be good, we have a basic problem, and that is that we have a tainted gene pool that has caused us to be born into sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That one man named Adam in the garden sinned against God. And God said, every man born of your seed will be born with sin and consequently the penalty of death. But I tell you this today, you and I are sinners not only because we do wrong things, but because we're born to sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That appointment with a lion. But I tell you this, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Jesus were just a man, He could have only died for His own sins. But because He is God, He can atone for and remove from us all the sins of the world. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. At this Christmas time of year, the Lord wants to give you a gift. The Lamb of God wants to take away your sin so that you can live forever with Him. He says it's a gift. He paid everything for it. All we need do is believe that He's the only way, that He's provided the means of forgiveness and salvation, and take it for our very own. And we will be saved. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and you know that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came and lived a perfect life and died a death on the cross to pay the price for your sin, and He was buried and He rose again to prove that He is God and to open the gates of heaven to all that will receive Him. If you believe that, then today by faith, you can take that gift that God has promised to you, a God from a God that cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. He promised eternal life. If you would believe it, you can receive it today. If you understand that, the simple truth, God made it so simple that even a child could understand it. And I'm not going to preach 2 minutes longer. I'm going to tell you this in just a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer. Unlike many that stand on TV and have people recite magic words without ever explaining the gospel, I've told you the gospel tonight. And if you believe the gospel and that Jesus is the only Savior, then you can come and meet the Lamb of God tonight without fanfare, without embarrassment, without any fuss. You can receive the gift of God. And in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if in your heart you believe what I have just told you from God's Word, I'm going to invite you as I pray aloud to pray quietly in your own heart. And tonight you can take the greatest gift that a person could ever have, the gift of forgiveness and a home in heaven forever. And it will be yours forever. Everlasting and eternal life. It is the gift of God to you. And if that's the desire of your heart, and today you want to meet the Lamb and not the lion, while I pray this prayer in just a moment aloud, would you pray it quietly in your heart? And if you believe with all of your heart, you shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May we bow our heads and hearts together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You've heard the gospel in its simplicity. We know that Jesus is coming again. You can choose to meet the Lamb and have your sins forgiven, removed from you, or you can try to take your chances with the lion. But it's the Lamb that takes the sins away. The lion will judge you for your sins. And if you desire to be saved today and be forgiven of every sin, and you know that Jesus is the only way that that's possible, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me right now, quietly in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess.